When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We were scheduled here to do our NFL tiers, we're going to do those at 6:15. But we had an open segment at 6:30 that I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with, and so we have room to bump back and welcome in Linnell Willingham, who, based off how he just entered this room, very clearly needs a session of football therapy. If you're new to the show, this is something we did with Linnell last year. Linnell, as you know, very passionate, doesn't know what to do with his takes, just winds up blurting them all out into microphones, and then 2 weeks later being like, I don't know why I said that, or I was right, but he always just has the takes. And so instead of that, we just let him talk through it with me, his football therapist.
I like
so,
to do this.
Linnell, welcome back to the couch.
Hello, Craig, Anthony. I will have my copay ready for you on the way out, as he is the front desk receptionist here at the Hoffman Football Clinic. But no, I don't know.
Linnell's an adult now. He knows about copays.
Come on now.
All right.
Hashtag 27.
But, okay, youngest in charge. What you got?
But no, I just am at a spot right now where I don't know what to think about where we currently stand. And I get so angry. My number one thing that I met with is, oh, Linnell, you got to look at it big picture context. We're in year one of a rebuild, and you've got your franchise quarterback. I get that, but that's not as fun, right? Like, all that's going to be fine in the case, no matter if they win a playoff game, miss the playoffs, whatever. That will be set in stone. The organizational structure is there. My concern, and how dare I look ahead to the future, my concern, I don't even want to say concern, my question is, are they good enough to win a playoff game? And the other question I now have, based off the way Sunday looked, are they good enough to make the playoffs? Because their playoff-making scenario is very interesting, right? They can lose.
Yeah, let me really therapize you here for a second. Let me do the thing that therapists really do, which is kind of get to the underlying core of the issue, right? What if they're not?
What if they're not? Then it's fine. And it's what it is.
Okay. Then what are we angry about?
It's not that I'm angry. I'm more so just, I'll give you a secret.
I think you said that you were angry.
I'll tell you a secret.
Okay. Just me and you here. No one else listening.
No one else is listening. HIPAA.
Wow, that's two adult jokes. You know, not adult. You never. Just keep it moving.
But I feel like I get met with such backlash when I choose to be objective about the team. And when I say objective, I mean I have no issues praising them. I also have no issues pointing out some of their most critical, glaring flaws. And it feels like whenever I bring up the flaws, the fan base's response is, oh, shut up, you you biased man. You're just a hater of the team. We're in year one of the rebuild. And I'm like, with my objective stance, never did I ignore the fact that we're in year one of a rebuild. Never did I ignore the fact that we have a franchise quarterback. Never did I ignore the fact that we have the proper organizational structure for the first time in my life. I have to look at it for what it is right now. And as we sit here, what is this about to be, week 16 of 2024, I don't know who we are right now. I told the world they broke my trust with the loss at home against Dallas. They almost broke my trust again this weekend. If they would have lost to New Orleans, I can give a damn about the clock malfunction, the bad penalties. It shouldn't have been that close of a football game, in my opinion. And obviously, you have the injury to Biadasz that kind of severely impacted the way you ran the football.
It did.
If you listen to the pregame show, I tried to tell everyone about the local product, Brian Brzee.
Let's not get too far away from the core point here.
Yes, the core point.
Which is point. That when you bring up flaws in the current team, people get mad at you.
Yes, so I don't know why.
Well,
it makes me mad in return, because my mentions is full of nothing but negativity. I called out Dan Quinn. I was a huge, I was perplexed by his decision.
Called out Dan Quinn for which decision?
The decision to kick a 54-yard field goal after your defense had given up three straight scoring possessions.
Did perhaps your presentation of said information, you think, impact the response? Did you think perhaps how at times you leave no wiggle room for potential alternatives could have a result in the vitriol coming back at you? Has that crossed your mind, youngest in charge, movement leader?
It has crossed my mind, and I
appreciate
you.
Have you perhaps allowed that to impact how you present information in the future?
No.
I think we've got to the core of the problem here.
I'm not going to change, is what the people need to understand.
Lito, you know you.
I know me very well.
Which is that I think at times you present things that are perhaps more negotiable, perhaps not quite as black and white as black and white. And not only is it black and white, but you're an absolute moron if you disagree. Which is why you and Russell scream at each other between 1 and 4 twice a week ad nauseum, because you both actually operate that way, which is hilarious because often you are on the opposite sides of arguments where you think if the other person takes the opposite side that they are the dumbest person walking the face of the earth, and thus you look at each other as if the other one is the dumbest person walking on the face of the earth.
Very well said.
So the thing is, though, if both of you who do a lot of work and pay attention and have been covering this league, in Chris's case, been covering the NFL for a long, long time, in your case, has been covering it very intensely for a shorter amount of time, hence the youngest in charge, and you guys can come to different conclusions, like perhaps there is room here. For instance, the 54-yard field goal, I think, was a questionable decision. I can't vehemently disagree with the idea of a guy who can kick a 54-yard field goal, kicking it to go up 10.
Yes.
And so that is a relevant plot point here. I think by the same token, like, you can't both acknowledge that if they don't wind up making the playoffs or if they're not good enough to win a playoff games, because it is year one, that then everyone has failed, everything sucks, and the whole world is on fire. But
I've never even alluded to it.
I do think perhaps your presentation at times makes it seem like the world is ending and that anyone who is not five alarm firing is that dog in that emoji who's sitting there with the fire behind him going, this is fine.
Yeah.
When in reality, like, that's a dog sitting in front of a presentation of a fire that's like being projected onto the wall. Nothing's actually on fire because it is year one of a rebuild. And so, like, I think both. And to be totally transparent with you, because we haven't talked about this yet, but I've talked about it on the show, I don't know what to do with Sunday's game. Because if you go play-by-play through it, the offensive notes, like, the offense is pretty good. They didn't go 3 and out the entire day. Defense, all in all, pretty good. And the drives where they weren't, they had some really bad breaks / one incredibly stupid penalty by Benjamin St. Juice. So I think, like, trying to make sense of Sunday's game is very difficult. But at the end of the day, sometimes in seasons, you have to survive like that. The Chiefs are 13-1 and like aren't that good, but you find ways to win.
Sure.
And I think that there's power in that too. And then you hope that you can eventually figure it out and play your best when it matters the most. The Chiefs have mastered that. They're 2-time defending Super Bowl champions. I do not anticipate the Commanders upending their reign. But some of this too is like, once you get better players, these near interceptions become interceptions. These near misses on offense or these missed assignments on blocks become better when insert offensive lineman who's an average to below average NFL starter becomes an above average NFL starter. That is just the reality of the talent level on this roster. And so you have to just eventually go, hey, yes, you would like to see better, but I understand why it's not better, and that will help you sleep better at night.
Productive therapy session, I would call it. I think what you said at the end is like what I always keep in the front of my mind, despite me not saying it as often. The reason for their problems, a majority of them, is a talent thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine, but I have to ask the question still. Like, it doesn't mean I shouldn't ask, because the one thing that I continue to believe will ultimately be their undoing and their biggest flaw, and I've said it to you countless times throughout the season, I just don't think they can stop the run when it matters against teams that are going to say, hey, we're running it. And that's okay. But I don't know if that is a personnel issue, because the personnel up front is, like, pretty decent. Like,
it's and is it, like, Carl Davis is playing on from the practice squad. Like, Sheldon Day, they found on the street this year.
Your depth needs to improve.
Those aren't depth. Those are, like, part of the rotation. Those guys play, like, 35% of the snaps. Like, that they are not Seattle Dan Quinn deep, like, on the D-line.
Not at all.
And they also don't have any stars. Like, there's no – it's one thing if you're playing those guys. And, like, to be fair to those two, like, Carl Davis didn't have a great game on Sunday. But, like, Sheldon Day's been excellent, especially by Sheldon Day standards. Like, he's been a hell of a find by this pro scouting department. And credit to Dan and the other folks that had been with him previously and knew he was available. But it's also different if, like, Myles Garrett can make you five plays a game on the edge. They don't have that dude either. And so I think that, like, all of this is relevant information. They're also not built to play from behind. Like, that's not stylistically how they want to be, and that's a conscious choice. And in the NFL, you just can't do everything. It's too hard to be great at everything. And if you are for one magical season, dudes are then going to want to get paid, and you're not going to be able to sustain it for more than, like, two. Now, if you're the Chiefs and the thing that powers that is your quarterback, then somehow you can wind up 13-1 and he just finds ways to win even though he's not even having a good year when you're not that good. But this is life in the NFL. It's hard. And I think the discourse around the NFL would be so much better in general on all these silly shows that you and I are a part of and we watch on television and on down the list if more people started their conversations with, this is the NFL. It's really hard. Okay, let's discuss it. Because it level sets how difficult it is when all of the best players and all of the best coaches in the world are constantly doing battle through a litany of rain, wind, injury, and other factors that are beyond their control.
And ironically enough, despite my, like, lack of faith in them to win a postseason game, I think the team, and I've tossed back and forth on this, I think the team that they'll have the best shot to beat is if they get matched up with Philadelphia, because I look at it from the standpoint of, okay, when you're playing a team for the third time, I think the emphasis on the coaching staff and the adjustments, like, ratchet up, and I like our guys versus their guys on the coaching staff.
I don't disagree with that.
Still don't think they'll probably win, because I think the talent discrepancy is just...
They got dudes who can make plays.
Huge.
Like, at the end of the day, like, Jaden this year versus zone coverage, fantastic. Jaden this year versus man-to-man, not great. He was awesome against man-to-man at LSU. Why? Because he had Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas.
Man-beaters.
This year, you can pick your matchup. Don't like it against a lot of teams with this receiving
corps. So let me go and say this too. Then would I be considered a hater? I can't be considered a hater. I've gone through crazy things to watch these games before through my childhood that I've shared on Windbag Wednesday and Throwdown Thursday. But I still wake up today. I'm geeked up that the Atlanta game's in primetime. Not really. It screws us all over as media members, and I hate it.
Yeah, that's personal. I get but you I and I are like on the same page there.
I do like it. Yes. But I look at the way Washington played Sunday versus New Orleans, and I look at what Atlanta has, and I go, are they going to beat Atlanta?
I mean,
if they missed the postseason, would it be considered disappointment?
Was it Tennessee beat someone the week before they played the Commanders, and then the Commanders just absolutely dump truck them? Like, the league, it's a week-to-week league.
Not right about...
How we're going to close the therapy session, because we are running out of time.
Well, I have
in a shocking turn of events, Linnell has run us long. It's a week-to-week league. That's the league. It's hard. Remember, Repeat after me. Here's your affirmation to close football therapy. The NFL is hard.
The NFL is hard.
Things change.
Things change.
Predicting things will make you look foolish.
Predicting things will make you look foolish, but I'll continue to do so for the clicks.
Don't say for the
just
clicks.
Just a joke.
No, it's not.
Craig, thank you as always. We'll work on Linnell
click harvesting next week.
Click harvesting is great.
Stop and show. Linnell is going to go over there, and he's going to go and do overtime. I presume that's why you're here.
Yes.
I don't think you've showed up a day early for Winback Wednesday.
No.
I know that show takes some preparation mentally and otherwise.
Well, for sure.
But Linnell's got overtime over on 106.7 The Fan.
Thank you, my friend.
Tonight. Thanks for stopping in, buddy. When we get back, it'll be our NFL tier rankings. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Chicken how you want it at Wawa with customizable crispy or roasted chicken sandwiches.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.